of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first epistle reading that we heard today was from the St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. And one of the basic things you have to understand when you're reading the book of Corinthians is that the church in Corinth was a divided church. And one of the things that was dividing the church was that there was a lot of worldliness, and there was a problem of sexual immorality. And so St. Paul had to address these things in these epistles. And in the epistle today, it began with the words, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, he talks quite a bit about the fact that we are temples of God. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 16, he says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And in chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, he says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." If anyone was to suggest that maybe after church some Sunday we should show a dirty movie in church, most of us would be rightly incensed, because we would say you can't do that kind of thing in a church. And rightly so. But we should also understand that if we go out after church and we go watch a dirty movie, or if we engage in lewd behavior or any kind of immorality, or if we encourage immorality, we're doing the same kind of thing, because the scriptures tell us that we are the temple of God. If anyone was to write graffiti all over the walls of the church, we would be very upset about that, and we would do what we could to stop them, and we wouldn't let them get away with that. And yet we see people today, many of whom are believers and even Orthodox Christians, that do things like tattoo themselves all over and put all kinds of piercings all over themselves. And this is a defilement of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when I say that, I know that some people have tattoos and they've come to regret it. And of course, that's certainly true. My father was in the Navy in World War II, and he had some tattoos. And he regretted it. And he told me that when I was a little kid, this was one of the stupidest things I ever did. But the problem with something like that is it's something that you can't easily undo. But it's not something that we, as Orthodox Christians, should think the church has no opinion on, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should not deface it in any way. St. Paul goes on, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." In the book of Exodus, chapter 19, the Lord said, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel," God speaking to Moses. In the first epistle of St. Peter, we find an allusion to this passage in Exodus, where St. Peter says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him that hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." Many Orthodox Christians who don't keep the fast themselves would be very scandalized to see a priest who doesn't keep the fast. Or if they see a priest doing something that they know is not right, they might not be bothered with the fact that they themselves do it or that other people in the church do it. But if they see a priest do it, they're shocked and scandalized, and they wouldn't tolerate it. But what you have to understand is that the scriptures teach that all of you are priests, in a sense. Just as in the Old Testament, where God said, "You are a kingdom of priests," so in one sense, everyone was a priest. Nevertheless, there was a distinct priesthood that had certain obligations when it came to the services. The same is true in the New Testament. There are some things that only an ordained priest can do, but that does not change the fact that all of you are priests and a holy nation. And so the same standards apply to you that apply to priests or to monks. There's not one kind of Christianity for monks and one kind of Christianity for laymen. We all have the same kind of Christianity. Now, one of the desert fathers tells a story of a vision of eagles that flew very high in the sky. And then later on, he saw eagles that were flying, or birds that were flying, but they weren't flying nearly so high. And then finally, there were birds that were just sort of skimming the water, barely able to keep themselves above the waters. And they pondered on what this meant, and what they said was that the eagles that flew very high were the first of the desert fathers. Their time was the birds that were flying lower, but the last days would be the birds that were just barely skimming the waters. In another place, one of the desert fathers says that in the last days, monks will live like laymen, and laymen will live like demons. And unfortunately, we see that that's all too true in our own time, where standards have been relaxed and people no longer take seriously their obligations as Christians. But just because that's generally true doesn't mean that it has to be true in your case. We should all resist that tendency because we live in an evil time, a time when people wink at the most grotesque sins that 20 or 30 years ago even comedians wouldn't have thought was an acceptable form of behavior. Nowadays, it's almost as if you're a bad person if you are not tolerant of anything you see on the Jerry Springer show. But we as Orthodox Christians have an obligation to maintain the standards that the church has always held. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set." And this is a reference to the boundary markers on people's lands that were placed to show where one farm ended and another farm began. But the fathers also apply that to the teachings of the church. We are not to remove the ancient landmarks. It's not easy to maintain an Orthodox life, and that's why St. Paul talks about us, or actually St. Peter, talks about us being a peculiar people. And peculiar, it means a special people, but in our day and age, it in the eyes of the world, it means that we're just weird in many cases, because we're not going along with what everyone else is doing. And if you're going to be an Orthodox Christian, if you wish to, on the last judgment here, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you're going to have to be prepared to have people think that you're weird, that you're peculiar, because you're not going along with what everyone else has to say. St. Paul in Titus, his epistle to Titus, chapter 2, says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." St. Paul says that we're to live a godly and sober life in this present world. It's not that we, when we're about ready to die or only in heaven, that we live a godly life, but in this present age, we're called to live a godly life now. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen."